Old Testament reading for sex at Jezebel is written in Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purposed, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Hebrews chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path that are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for sex at Jezebel is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and withered and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he ears to hear, let him hear. Let's read the text. A parable such as this should catch your attention. It's meant to rattle you, to awaken you. For Christ speaks a warning within it. That's why he lovingly concludes his delivery to the people with the words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Upon hearing this parable, what's the reaction? What's your reaction? Are you listening? Are you reading the bulletin? Are you doodling? Drifting off the la la land? What's your reaction? God says it to get your attention. Does it matter? Is there a slowing down of the busyness of life? Is that why you're here? To actually meditate upon what God's Word said? Did the hearers back then do this? Or did they simply think, "Oh, that was nice, I heard you, and now I will simply move along"? And in about 30 seconds or a minute or however long, they lose the words because they weren't really paying attention in the first place. And friends, why does the Lord deliver these words? It's to cause you, and it was to cause them, to stop and meditate. In actually hearing Christ's words, do they not stop you and bring you to ask yourself at the very least, "I wonder what kind of soil I am"? Do they not just do that? And the biggest desire that should come about in such self-examination, according to this parable, the biggest desire that should come about is the desire to be good soil. But the reality is that you, believers, are all of these soils. You would conclude that if you actually took the time to reflect on God's Word. You still have unbelief dwelling right alongside the belief that God has created and sustains within you. You were born not fearing, loving, or trusting in God, born an enemy and at enmity with God, born a hardened path. And you continue to be stubborn, hardened, selfish people, who, according to your sinful nature, could care less about God's burdensome, boring word. What? Read it every day. Daily meditation. Courageous. How boring. The devil easily comes along and takes away the word. Leads you further into unbelief. The seed cannot take root on a hardened path. So what needs to take place? That path must be excavated. That hardened path would have to be torn up. An action that a hardened path would not be pleased by, but carried out so that the seed can take root. And as you are the ones receive the seed with joy. Testing will come your way. And as you are tested, as trials and suffering are brought your way, do not deny that you fall into unbelief as you wrestle with God. Oh, you enjoy everything when it's going your way. Then you don't have a problem. Belief in that God is a piece of cake. It's when the one true triune God chooses to draw you closer to himself by testing you. Then you curse God and turn your back on him, if even through a simple thing called doubt. God willing, though, you are brought to your knees exactly where he wants you to be, for the seed cannot take root in shallow, stony soil that expects a pain-free life of glory, a belief and joy in God as long as he makes things go your way. Kind of Christianity that relies on emotional ties. That stony ground must be tilled. The stones have to be extracted. The emotions must be revealed as empty reliance. An action that stony soil will not be pleased with, but carried out so that the seed can take root. Testing by God, so that, God willing as he intends, he draws you closer to himself. And you certainly cannot say that the cares, the riches, and pleasures of this life have not become bigger and more important than God. The thorns of idolatry abound according to your sinful inclinations. You avoid true self-examination according to God's word, as instead you simply go on hopping from one idol to another, searching for self-fulfillment in each idol. But the seed cannot take root while the thorns of cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choke out the word of God. Having no more time for God must be revealed. The idols have to be torn down and taken away. An action that thorny soil will not be pleased with, but carried out so that the seed can take root. Now, all of what you, God willing, just heard with your ears reveals who mankind is, reveals who you are. Right as that was being proclaimed, just as it is right this very second, God is going into your ears, examining you. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, even at this very second. This is what the word of God is supposed to do. As it is sent into your ears, it contains both law and gospel. It is living and active. It works your soil, tilling it, churning it, extracting it for a reason. There are different kinds of soil that the seed of God's word will be cast upon, and some will end just as Jesus said they would. But not because God's word was powerless, but the seed of God's word always has power. There isn't because man thinks it's lost its power and man can improve upon it, that man can give it more power by making it dynamic and exciting and emotional. What flies in the face of such a theology of dynamic, exciting, and emotional glory is the true biblical theology of the cross. For when the Word of God really takes root, a man must die. It means being born again. And if birth itself is a painful thing, so I'm told, a new birth is at least equally so. For the old man, the old nature, the Word of God is not a feast for the ears, but a hammer of God. A man who comes from it unbruised need not think that it has taken root. For it is through dying and rising that the good soil is brought about. It's what you desire to be according to the new man, the new nature that was put in you by God's action of law and gospel. The dying and rising is unavoidable when it comes to the Word of God. It's through Christ Jesus, by faith alone, that you are made good soil. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. God's Word alone is cast upon you to examine you, to drive you through Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Just as the seed must die to rise again, so it is with you to make you anew, to make you good soil through Him. Again, His dying and rising and your dying and rising must take place. It is unavoidable when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the theology of the cross. For God's Word is cast with water, making it a holy baptism. And where there is a holy baptism, there the good Lord Christ crucified is being cast, creating good soil through His atoning merits. God's Word is cast through the sacrament of holy absolution, and those who receive the good Lord Christ crucified's forgiving words are made good soil as they are sent through Him. God's Word is cast from the lectern and the pulpit as it is properly proclaimed, casting the good Lord Christ crucified upon the receivers in the pews, making good soil as faith receives His forgiving words, driving them through Himself. God's Word is cast as it attaches itself to bread and wine, casting the good Lord Christ Jesus, true body and blood, into receivers, making good soil through the satisfaction He made for the sins of the world. God's holy Word, properly proclaimed and His holy sacraments rightly administered according to Christ's institution, create good soil, strengthen and sustain good soil, not because the soil had anything to offer in itself, but because of the casting of the good Lord Christ crucified, dying and rising through God's means of grace. The soil is made good as you die and rise by faith alone. And then, inevitably, it bears fruit 100-fold as Jesus also said, unless a seed of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. God desires to bring you to reckon with him. And in truly hearing his word, you are confronted with him. Do not think that you can be confronted by God and not be humbled and brought to your knees. Anyone who shies away from repentance, from bowing down, from dying and rising, is sadly not truly hearing. God desires that you desire to be good soil, so he makes the way for you. By the grace of God, in repenting and believing, you are accounted good by faith alone in his good merits. As God casts his living and active word alone upon you, although uncomfortable because of his law, he lovingly discerns and examines you, ever cultivating you and revealing your sin, to drive you to his gospel, to drive you through the one who is your Sabbath rest, making you anew and good through Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.